Let me ask you a very personal question. It's very personal. You do not need to stand up and answer, but it is something that you are to think about or meditate on. What is it that you are very eager to do personally? What is it that you are very eager to personally do in this world for the rest of your life? As long as you live, as long as you are healthy, as long as you are able, what is it that you want to do? What task, activity, or ambition that you want to pursue? You wish to accomplish. You want to spend most of your time while still alive and able. For sure, there are a lot of chores there, but those are necessities, but not necessarily the things that you want to be known of. What is it? Have you considered that question before? That you would spend the rest of your life? In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6 and Proverbs 30, verse 25, let's read this together. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. Ants are creatures of little strength, yet they store up their food in summer. Accordingly, compared to our human strength, they are so weak, but accordingly, ants are one of the strongest creature, pound for pound, if you would. They can carry up to 500 times their weight. How about that? I can only carry as much as I am. Kung gaano ako kabigat, yun lang ang kaya kong buhatin. But for them, if the weight of ants, accordingly, if it's 1 gram, it can carry up to 500 grams. I don't know how they were able to measure that with such very light thing. Where did they get that idea? But maybe it's just assumption. Maybe just probably, but I don't know. Well, did God design ants as object lesson for their small and simple lifestyle? Ito kaya ginawa ng Panginoon upang tayo ay matuto sa kanila. But it says there, go to the ants, you sluggard, consider his ways. It's something to consider about. God has designed all living things with unique ability, especially for them. If you look at any creatures, there's something unique in that creature that that creature would do. Well, of all living creatures, we humans are created in the likeness of our Creator. We can learn from other creatures and decide on whatever is beneficial to us. Kung anong kakatulong sa atin, we do that. But by our human sinful nature, dahil ang ating mga makasalanang pagkatao, our decision, our action can result to eternal damnation, condemnation. But praise be to God. Praise belongs to God that He loved us, that He sent His one and only beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, take all our sins, nail them on the cross, died on the cross to pay for the penalty of our sins. So that anybody who would believe what Jesus did, you believe by faith that God has taken away all your sins, punish them and accept His gift of eternal life, you will not be condemned. Instead, you will live with Him. We will live with Him forever. And He transforms us into new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. The new life has come. So our new lifestyle, He's given us new lifestyle in Christ. Not from our human mindset or sinful mindset, sinful heart, but from Christ, replaced the former worldly lifestyle. As believers of Christ, what is it that you want to spend most of your time while you're alive? What is your spiritual gift? Have you received your spiritual gift? Why are spiritual gifts so important and significant in our spiritual life? Spiritual gifts, these are the avenue in which we can express our personal experience with Christ as Lord and Savior. We invite others to believe the gospel of Christ because we ourselves experience we have personal experience with Christ, our salvation, the transformation of our life from old lifestyle to new lifestyle. What is it that has been transformed in your life that you want to testify and tell others about it? Think about that. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, it says, let's read this. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct and rebuke and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. You may say, Pastor, hindi man ako preacher, hindi man ako pastor. I was not called to preach. Well, that is some reason that you may want to consider or maybe consider to think again, because the term preach is nagiging official lang ito dahil it pertains to pastors. But actually, it means public proclamation of the gospel and matters pertaining to it made by Jesus, made by the apostles, and other Christians. That's how they termed that word preach, translated in English. But it is properly interpreted as herald, proclaim, or announce. It doesn't mean office. It doesn't mean that you need to have an office to preach. Announce publicly the gospel of Christ, what Christ has done, the good news about salvation in Christ, with conviction, with persuasion. So the gospel of Christ is the binding word for eternal accountability to those who hear it. Have you heard the gospel of Christ? Then you have eternal accountability. So to preach, this isn't a secret public, secret, but it's public. When you say public, it's open. It's not secret. There's no such thing as, oh, secretly, publicly announce. How would that be sensible? It could not be, right? If public announcement, others would hear it. You cannot say, I secretly tell them. Okay. And there's this persuasion that is expected from preachers of the gospel of Christ. How? Preachers should rely upon Christ's Spirit. Now, again, preachers are not only those who stand behind the pulpit. Anybody who would announce the gospel of Christ is the preacher. And you need to have this conviction and persuasion. And to convert believers, this is the work of the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. It's not us to convert them. We just have this conviction that we believe in what we preach. It's not sensible when to preach what you cannot believe. So first and foremost, when we preach, when we tell about the gospel of Christ, we need to believe personally the gospel of Christ. Do you believe? Now you believe. When you believe, you heard, then you are eternally accountable of it. What do you do with the gospel of Christ that you heard? You believe. Now you are saved. You believe you are saved. So what do you do with that? Apostle Paul had personally experienced the power of the gospel of Christ. We will talk more about the power of the gospel of Christ next Sunday. But Apostle Paul, in this passage that we just read a while back, he longed to see the church in Rome and impart his personal experience. Actually, he said he planned many times. Let's read again verse 11 and 12. I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may mutually encourage by each other's faith. Now, you come every Sunday, I am encouraged, just as I would encourage you to continue to come every Sunday. That is something that Paul had experienced when he wrote this letter to the Romans. But look at that. He said, that I may impart you some spiritual gift. Why? Why is that imparting needed? The reason is to make you strong, spiritually strong. Apostle Paul planned to impart some spiritual gift to make them strong. Spiritual gift comes from the Holy Spirit. And the spiritual gift proves that Christ is active in your life. And spiritual gifts strengthens us to keep us trusting Christ despite of our circumstances. Well, di mo naman sinasagot ang aking prayer items, Lord. Ayaw ko nang maniwala sa iyo. No, that's not the cause. That's not the case. Christ answers in His time or let you wait for some time. That's not the reason of trusting Him. We trust Him because He gives us faith. And to grow strong in our faith in Christ, keep on using your spiritual gifts. It makes you strong. A while back, somebody told me that I am taking rest and I'm becoming weak. It's becoming weak by resting. How is that? Because the body needs to move. That is, it helps us. You see, even as spiritually we grow weak, I just rest for a while. No, the more you use your spiritual gift, the more you grow strong in your faith. The church in Rome had exemplary faith, as it has reported all over the world. We have learned about that last Sunday. And Paul was eager to see them because he was encouraged by their exemplary faith and wanted also to encourage them to keep on keeping on. Why? Bakit po? These Roman Christians were exemplary, have exemplary faith, and yet Paul wanted to go and encourage them all the more to strengthen their faith. Why is that? Perhaps Paul may have perceived, or the Holy Spirit in his life may have been telling him about a persecution that is coming. Indeed, Christians in Rome were persecuted by Emperor Nero later. After many years, when Paul went to Rome. So when Paul had imparted some spiritual gifts, the Christians in Rome were encouraged and strengthened in their faith, and during persecution, they continued to trust the Lord. They kept on trusting Him even when Nero persecuted them or killed them. They kept on trusting the Lord. And Paul himself was encouraged by the believers in Rome, and he continued to preach the gospel of Christ. Additionally, Apostle Paul encouraged in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 6 to 9. Let's read this. God thus confirming our testimony about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for the Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, who has called you into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now think about that. He in verse 8 it says, He will also keep you firm to the end. And verse 7, therefore you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for the Lord. Have you watched any picture or movie where a person tried to cling on scared of falling down, just keep on clinging on and waiting for a rescue team to rescue that person. Kind of like if you don't have that enough strength clinging on something, you would fall down, something like that. Similarly, in our spiritual life, when we continue to use our spiritual gifts, we continue to grow strong, keep on waiting. It's kind of like we are clinging on something, waiting for the coming of the Lord. Can you wait until the coming of the Lord? Now, genuine fellowship in Christ is active and not dormant, meaning it's not something like passive. It's active. It's moving. It's alive. Paul said that all believers don't lack any spiritual gift. Lahat ng believers, we all have our own spiritual gift. God has given each one of us. Some of you may be given one. Some of you may be given two or more or many. But not everyone can have all spiritual gifts. So don't expect a believer to have all spiritual gifts. That is not possible. If that person has all the spiritual gifts, then he can also one church. And that cannot be. There's no one part of body to be called the whole body of a person. This is why there is every part of the body. And that's we are, the body of Christ. We are part of the body of Christ. And we cannot be one person, a body of Christ. So nobody can have all the spiritual gifts. That's why don't expect anybody that person would be like a good singer, just like you are a good singer. That person is good in cooking, just like you are in good cooking. You cannot expect that. We cannot. We do not. We should not. The Holy Spirit give us spiritual gift. We receive spiritual gifts when the Spirit of Christ came into our life. Now you ask yourself, did I accept the Lord Jesus as my Lord and Savior? Well, I prayed to receive Christ as my Lord and Savior. Then make sure that you have received the Spirit of Christ. How do you know? The Holy Spirit guarantees eternal security in Christ. If the Holy Spirit is in your life, you know that you are going to heaven. Now, how do you know that the Holy Spirit is in your life? The spiritual gift guarantees that we receive the Holy Spirit. Unless the Holy Spirit is active in our life, we cannot know that He is in our life because we don't see the Holy Spirit. We only sense His presence when we receive that spiritual gift and when we use that spiritual gift. We know that the spiritual gift comes from the Lord when you do something that you do not usually do when you were not yet Christians. Like as I said before, I was scared of standing behind a pulpit before I became Christian, and now I'm standing before you. Although I'm scared sometimes, but the encouragement from the Holy Spirit, I keep on. I hate to go abroad because I don't like speaking English. And yet here I am. I amazed myself, not because of me, it's because of the Holy Spirit giving me that. How about you? How do you know that you have the Holy Spirit? When our spiritual gift is utilized for God's purposes, His faithfulness is revealed in our lifestyle. So check your lifestyle. Ano po ang inyong lifestyle? Are you actively using your spiritual gift yet? So keep on asking, Lord. Lord, ano bang aking spiritual gift? Show me, reveal to me very clearly what's my spiritual gift. Then, when you hear an invitation, it could be that invitation comes from the Lord. Join and try and discover. When the worship leaders ask you, can you join us in our choir? Oh, I'm not a good singer. Very good if you're not a good singer. Why? you know that it's not you who would sing when you eventually sing. Somebody said, when you don't know, you teach. And I was thinking about that. How could a teacher teach if he doesn't know? Well, in a spiritual sense, the more you teach, the more you know. So it helps. Wow, that was a very deep statement, but for many, it is not sensible, but it is eventually, because that statement was looking forward to the eventual outcome. Now let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4 to 11. There are different kind of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone it is the same God at work. Now it's to one, verse 7. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit of a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by one Spirit, to another miraculous power, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one just as He determines. Some people would think that they are gifted speakers. Well, they are, but some people would just receive the gift of speaking through the Holy Spirit. Some people are gifted in many activities because they have been trained from young age, but that's not the case. That's not the case in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would give you when you believe in Him. But even if He would use that talent that you have, it could be that you will know that it comes from the Holy Spirit if you have that joy of using that spiritual gift without expecting any appreciation from other people. Why? Why do I not expect appreciation? Because the praise, the joy of serving the Lord using your spiritual gift is more than enough, and you may be even ignore praises from other people, applause from other people, because the praise from God is more than enough for you to be filled with overflowing joy in your heart, so that you want to keep on using that spiritual gift that He has given you. Some people would say, oh, this person is very gifted in something. Oh, maybe he needs to join this something, this ministry. It could be, but I don't know. I would rather say, you will be frustrated if that talent that you have does not come from the Lord. When people cannot appreciate you, this is why you may hear people, oh, hindi man nila ina-appreciate ang aking ginagawa, hindi man nila ako binibigyan ng parangal sa aking mga ginagawa sa church. Why would people say that? Because they are using their talent, not the spiritual gift. At ganun ang mangyari. And that does not count. Why does not count? Because it's not the work of the Lord, it's from the human effort. Anything that comes from the human effort does not come from the Lord, for sure. Very simple, right? Only things that comes from the Lord, the Lord would appreciate. Because the things that we do, again, cannot reach the standard of God. It falls short. So it's not by faith. It's not by faith. That's why there's frustration. The Lord knows which spiritual gift is appropriate for us. So it's not us who would decide. Spiritual gifts do not make us more important than the other Christians. Now, if you feel that you are more important because you have that special talent, mas magaling naman ako kaysa dyan eh. If you feel that way, that talent did not come, it's not a spiritual gift. Because you don't feel that way. Now think about your body. Which part of your body would say it's very important? Perhaps your stomach. Gusto ko na kumain, lagyan mo na, mangyari. But of course, the body needs it, right? That's why the stomach would crumble because the whole body would become weak if it's not filled. But it doesn't mean that the stomach is very important. So that as when the stomach is filled, the stomach just keep quiet, right? Ganun po. So nobody in your body would say, oh, the hand, I'm more important than you, left hand. Why? Because I'm right hand, I'm the one writing. Or the left hand would say, oh, I'm very important. Why? Have my ring. For those who wear rings. You right finger, you do not have rings. I'm more important, I have rings. Now, how many people would, for those who have problems with armpit hair, is your armpit hair, yung mga buhok sa kilikili, you don't like it. Why you don't like it? You remove it, right? Because it's itchy, or maybe it's not very beautiful when you raise your hands, when you have sleeveless, especially girls. And there are a number of suggestions how to trim your hair. Why is it that you trim your hair? As for girls, you trim your eyebrows. Why is it? Because you want it beautiful, right? You remove the unwanted hair. For people, they remove the hair from their legs or wherever. Some people have hair in their chest and their backs, but they just want to remove those hairs. But this is, if you go to the internet, YouTube, for example, you would go, how to remove armpit hair, how to remove eyebrows, how to remove hair from the ears. Meron ba kayong buhok sa ears? Meron ako. How to remove nose hair, how to trim beard, how to trim mustache. You can go to the internet and they will show you. But something that I was thinking, I tried, but I failed. Article, how to remove your eyes, your left eyes. How to remove your nose. How to remove your hands. How to remove your feet. Meron pa ba yung ganon? Or have you observed that? Have you ever come up with videos, something like that? Don't do. Huwag po kayong mag-umpisa ng ganon. Hair is important, especially for beauty, but not very crucial to life activities. Sometimes, for ladies with long hair, you don't want to have that long hair na to just go down. You want to bind it because you are doing something with your hands that it may disturb you, your activity, right? But you do not want to clip your hand and do something because you don't want your right hand or left hand because you do something, unless it is required by any activity that you need to not to use your right hand or left hand. Or just clip your one foot and do something. Have you had that? I want to cook and with just one foot standing. Is that sensible? Friends, each one has been given spiritual gifts. And pray and desire that your spiritual gifts will not be like hair, but will be significant to the body of Christ. Apostle Paul encouraged us to desire prophetic gifts, a gift of prophecy. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, let's read this. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. Now, you may desire to have the gift of healing. If you are physically weak and you want to be God's, God will use you to heal those who are sick because you are tired of yourself being sick all the time. You may want to ask the Lord to give you the gift of giving. How's that? Be generous. How's that? Palagi na lang ako yung nangungutang, Lord. Gusto ko din akong magpautang. Mag-umpisa ka na. Umpisa ka ng mamigay ng kahit konti, palaki ng palaki ng palaki. And God give you the gift of giving generously with joy. What else? What else? You complain about the leaders? Maybe God is calling you to become leader of the church or in your organization. You complain about your boss? Maybe God will give you the gift to start your own business to become a good employer. Pray about that. Pray about something that may testify that it's God who is at work in your life so that you know that the Holy Spirit is in your life when you use that spiritual gift. When we desire something, we are motivated to pursue it. That is the meaning, desire, gift of the Spirit. You pursue. Lord, gusto ko magkaroon ng gift. I was scared of one spiritual gift before. Spiritual gift of healing. When I was in the academy, they come to me, those who are sprained, because I pray for them when I massage their foot, you know, they are sprained. And following morning, they are there running. And I later on, when I realized, did God give me the gift of healing? And I was scared. Why? Because I saw a lot of preachers would go and preach about healing, come and I will heal you. And eventually they become the gospel, prosperity gospel. Even if, and they are faking that healing eventually. And I didn't like that because I'm scared that I might be drunk with that. Anyway, desire spiritual gift, but desire the spiritual gift of prophecy. Prophecy. Why prophecy? Spiritual gift of prophecy includes that eagerness to preach the gospel of Christ, eagerness to inform others about it, so that you will not be scared sharing the gospel to your loved ones, to your relatives, to your friends. You want so much to share the gospel, to inform them about what you have experienced, but you are scared. So pray, desire. Keep on praying every time you remember, Lord, give me that gift of preaching, informing others about the gospel of Christ. Give me, Lord, give me. Every time you remember praying for spiritual gift. But of course, pray that God's love overflow in your life. Let's read again verse 13. I do not want you to be aware, brothers and sisters, that I planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have harvest among you just as I had among the other Gentiles. Now, he planned many times, and Paul informed the church in Rome that for them to be aware, about his plan to visit them. He wanted them to know that he wanted to visit them. And why did Paul say that he might harvest among the church in Rome? Why did he say that? Certainly he trusted the church in Rome to have genuine faith in Christ, because their faith would have been proclaimed, reported all over the world. So why did he say that he wanted to harvest among? So what was implied that Paul hoped to have a harvest among them? Well, when Paul preached the gospel of Christ for listeners, he want them to respond, And he also encouraged his disciples to keep on believing until the day of Christ, not just for one day, not just for 1 month, not just for 1 year, but until the day Christ would come, the day of Christ, his return. It is why he told the church in Rome that there's this mutual encouragement by each other. Just as he encouraged them, he was also encouraged. When Paul arrived in Rome, he was encouraged to keep on preaching about Christ. And Christ reminds us in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 21, we read this together. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This may have reminded Paul when he said that he desired to harvest eternal treasures in the Church of Rome. He might have been thinking about eternal treasure. Harvest of eternal treasure. And Christ encourages us to accumulate eternal treasure while living in this world. He did not say, store up for yourselves eternal treasures when you reach heaven. No, it's in this world that we accumulate eternal treasure. The phrase to store up implies saving much treasures. Much eternal treasure. Just saving for your retirements? No, it's not. Saving for much eternal treasure. Store up. If you store up, how do you store up? Keep on putting more. Not for others. You don't store up for your children, grandchildren. No. It says store up for yourselves. It's for you. It's for us. When we store up, it's not for others, for us. Why did he say that? I don't know. But something comes to mind when Christ teaches in Luke chapter 12, verse 16 to 21. Let's read this together. The ground of a certain man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store up my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but not reach toward God. Now, can you accept that whatever Christ declares is true? This was a declaration of Christ. Do you agree? Christ is the truth. The Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Christ is the truth. So whatever he says is true. Christ said that God considers it foolishness to be not rich toward God. If we are not rich toward God, that's foolishness. So if we do not store up eternal treasures, it's foolishness. Think about that. What did Christ mean about not rich toward God? It says in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 19, let's read this. When God gives someone wealth and possessions and ability to enjoy them, to accept their lot and be happy with their toil, this is a gift of God. If we think about that, first thing that would come, it's about material wealth. The material world, money is wealth. God gives ability to be rich. So pray. Bakit lagi akong nangungutang? Bakit? Kukunti ang aking sweldo, nagdo-double time ako, do-double job ako, kunti pa rin ang aking sweldo. Why? Ask God wisdom how you may become rich. Ask Him. He gives that wisdom so that you don't need to go overtime. Instead, work for one job and you have enough, more than enough. God also defines which one is acceptable as wealth to him. Not all material wealth are acceptable to him. It could be material, it could be spiritual. Which one is wealth to the Lord? He decides, he gives us wealth. So to be rich toward God, we also need to ask him to enable us to be rich toward him. For material things or spiritual things, it is not us to decide. Oh, this is material wealth, this is spiritual wealth. No, he decides for you. So ask him for wisdom. And whatever you see is good in his eyes, do it. Apostle Paul exemplified how to harvest eternal treasure wherever, whenever we can. Whenever we can, harvest that eternal treasure. He wrote in Philippians chapter 4, verse 1, let's read this together. My brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friend. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19 to 20, for what is our hope, our joy, and the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not for you? Indeed, you are our glory and joy. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 14. You will come to understand fully that you can boast of us just as we will boast of you in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let me ask you, do you personally understand what it means, the word glory and the comparison of joy and happiness? What is it? What do you mean when you say glory? Paul had glorious joy about the Philippians because they have matured spiritually. Now, they continued to send their financial support for his missionary journey. We can find that in chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4, verse 17, if you would like to look about that. He sensed that similar glorious joy for the Thessalonians because he wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7, that they became model church, not just in Macedonia, but also in Achaia, province of Achaia, or the present-day Greece. In the church in Corinth, they also matured in their spiritual life so that Paul told them that he will boast of them in the day of the Lord Jesus, his return. Now, how is that feeling of glorious joy? Parents, listen. Children, observe. Parents, when you see your child, nung una siyang magsalita, sabihin, Daddy, Mommy, there's this feeling of, wow, first word. How about kung ang unang word ng Panginoon ng inyong anak ay, praise God, praise God. Magiging selfish tayo kung minsan parents, di ba? Gusto natin at nauna yung daddy kaysa mommy. How about if the child cannot speak the right word? My nephew of my wife, the first word is abidja, abidja, abidja. And later on, he keep on saying abidja, 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 abidja. They learned that he is deaf when he grow older. Hindi siya nakakarinig. That's why he tried to say something but he doesn't really know what he's saying. I don't know how they do it. I think they give him something to parang headphone and he is able to communicate better. Now, when your children like did something, performed something, you see them performing, there's that glorious of boasting, something like that. You don't want to say boast. I boast. I'm proud of you. This is why that the word, are you proud of me, mother? Are you proud of me, dad? But that is not the right term. It's the glorious joy, actually, for Christians. For non-Christians, they say proud. But the term is glorious joy. That's the term, glorious joy. I feel so glorious. You feel like you are on top of the world. That's the glorious joy that Paul experienced. He experienced the glorious joy about his disciples. Have you had that? Actually, Paul planned and to visit and have spiritual harvest from the church in Rome, and he ended his missionary journey in Rome. as the Lord directed his step, because it says in Proverbs 19, verse 21, let's read this. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. In Proverbs 20:24, a person's steps are directed by the Lord. How then can anyone understand their own way? Now, what is your plan? What's your personal plan? Make sure that your plan has eternal significance to earn you eternal treasure. Pray and know very particularly what spiritual gift the Lord gave you. Know that. Ask God for his plan. Lord, whatever your plan is, feel in my heart. Give me your plan. Now, how do I know that it's God's plan? I don't know. But pray that God would give you the right decision, firm decision, when you decide so that you know his plan. How you may prepare for it. How you may fulfill his purposes in your life. God assigned Paul, he called Paul to be apostle to the Gentile. Whatever Paul did, he was sent to tell the gospel to the Gentiles, because he was apostle to the Gentiles, or missionary to the Gentiles, if you would. Paul felt obligated to reach out to everyone. He felt indebted to preach the gospel of Christ with eagerness. It says in verse 14 and 15, let's read this together. I am obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I'm so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. Why did he need to preach the gospel when their faith has been reported all over the world? Do they need the gospel? Why did Paul feel obligated to preach the gospel of Christ to all people? But he says, who are in Rome, to you who are in Rome. So he was talking not only to the believers, but also to non-believers who are in Rome, or maybe to the Jewish people who join, or Gentiles who attend the church in Rome. Now, the term obligated can be properly interpreted as indebted or debtor. Ako'y may utang sa inyo, something like that. If you have utang, you are obligated to pay. Paul considers himself a debtor, someone under obligation to pay back his debt. He was indebted, he was obligated to pay back to everyone. Why? Why is that? Why did he feel that? Christ saved him. Christ called him. He called Paul as apostle to the Gentile. And Paul felt obligated to pay back for his eternal life. Well, he is eager to preach the gospel of Christ. So he knows that whoever God calls, he empowers. God would empower that person. Whoever God empowers, there is this eagerness to obey. Do you sense that? Eagerness to obey. Ask the Lord, Lord, empower me. Don't force yourself, or you will be frustrated later if you force yourself. Don't get disappointed. You don't want that. You would rather want that the empowerment of the Lord. There's this joy of serving him. Of course, Paul cannot pay back eternal life that he received. It's free, right? You don't need to pay back. But he claimed it personally as his obligation to preach the gospel of Christ to everyone. I think he is just overstating it, that eagerness for him to go and preach. And Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 13, verse 8, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another, for whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. Now, the term obligated and the term debt evolved from the same Greek word. Pareho po ang kanilang root word. So, Paul felt obligated to preach the gospel to everyone, and God's love for everyone overflowed through him. He sensed that love in his heart. It's not from him. It's the love of God. This is why he loved even those who persecuted him. When the love of Christ overflowed in Paul's life, in the life of Paul, he was compelled to tell others. He had that eagerness to preach the gospel about what God and about what God has done in his life. He testified. If you go through the book of Acts many times, three times, I think that it was written that he testified and repeated his testimony to different audiences. Truly, when we accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, we receive his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit bears fruit in our life. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. So there's this love for others. That love is the God's love for us and for others. When God's love overflows in us, we cannot help but love others. So when you hate somebody, I don't like that person, you do not need to like them, but you can love them. There's no command, like everyone, you would like everyone. No, it's not. The command is, love others, love your enemies as yourself. You can love them, you do not need to like them. How would you love? You can go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and know what it means to love. And the best practical exhibit of our love for others is to make sure that they will also receive the Lord's Spirit of life. That is the best gift that you can give. How do you love your children, your grandchildren, your relatives? Make sure they will go to heaven with you. Don't say, you don't claim that you love them if you don't ever share the gospel with them, or not making sure that they will go to heaven with you. That's not loving. If you let them go to hell while you are assured of going to heaven, did you love them? Maybe you give them that material things, but that material things let them go to the other side. If you cannot tell about God's love, ask somebody, ask the leaders, ask someone, come and help, let us help you. What is greater gift than eternal life? The greatest gift, it is eternal life. Greatest gift is the Lord Jesus. Eternal life is in Christ Jesus. Have you heard of David? Dillon is there. Not David Dillon. David Livingston. David Montanes, have you heard about this? You need to read E.R. David, right? I love the story of David Livingston. I read the book of David Livingston and I just appreciated what he did. He is a missionary to Africa. Formerly plans to go to China, but there was this opium war in the 18th century, so that he went to Africa instead. He was known for his exploration. He crossed Africa from one end to end, from west to east coast. And pagbalik, namatay na siya. How many kilometers ang binyahin niya? And in his travels, he saw the slavery in Africa and spoke against it. And he believed the dignity of the African people. He believed in the dignity of Africans despite of indigenous spiritual belief. Someone said, they talk about him. They said, his heart belongs to Africa. His heart belongs to Africa. Now, when he died, African natives removed his heart and buried it in Africa. Kasi lalagyan nila ng asin para ma-preserve yung katawan niya, and they ship his body back to Europe where he was buried, given funeral service. As a result of his missionary work, there was not much about what he did. Instead, he named the Victoria Falls. He's the one who named the Victoria Falls in honor to Queen Victoria. He discovered that, although he was there, the fall was there even before. But he named it after Queen Victoria. And as there was one, accordingly, he was able to share the gospel to a tribe, and the prince of the tribe believed, and that helped the gospel of Christ propelled or spread throughout the continent of Africa accordingly. That is the only work that happened, although there are many other unrecorded things that he did, but that is one thing that scholars, one significant thing that he did spiritually. Are you called to for international missions? Tinatawag ba kayo ng Panginoon para sa international mission? Or are you scared of coronavirus? Don't feel bad. Don't feel bad. All right? There's positive side to be afraid. There is. It's possible that God give you that heart to be scared so that you would serve Him locally, not internationally. Okay? It's possible also that He wants you to wait for His right time. Maybe He is still preparing. The Lord is still preparing the person He wants to believe in Christ through you. So don't just close, oh, Pastor, tatakot ako eh. Bakit ka natakot? Natakot ako ng terrorist. Natakot ako ng coronavirus. Natakot ako ng mag-fly. No, that's okay. Pray that God would reveal to you why He allows that fear in your heart. Don't go, don't try to force yourself. I'm trying na magpaka, nagpapakahiro ka doon na takot ka talaga naman eh. Lalo kang matatakot pagdating doon. Don't force. Instead, you should have that eagerness and conviction that you would go. Christ warns in John chapter 12, verse 48. Let's read this together. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. The very word I have spoken will condemn them at the last day. Now, it is very negative, but it's not only for unbelievers. It is also for believers. Those who heard the gospel of Christ are eternally accountable to their response. So, Apostle Paul, he heard it. He did not reject, but he eagerly told others his personal experience with Christ, and it helped him mature spiritually. How about us? We have heard the gospel of Christ. How do we respond? Let others know about your personal experience with Christ. Pray for desire. Desire to serve him internationally or locally. And He will empower you for sure. He will empower you.